am me. I am who I am. I am who I'm gonna be. Walking in the spirit, moment by moment, fulfilling my own destiny. I am me. I am who I am. I am who I'm gonna be. Walking in the spirit, moment by moment, fulfilling my own.
Yes, we are fulfilling our own destiny. Good morning, good evening, wherever you are in the world we now inhabit. You are listening to Cindy Freeman, your host on Purpose Talk Radio. We air every Monday at noon Pacific time. Yes, noon Pacific time, 3 Eastern time. And 8 o'clock in the UK, although right now it needs to be 7 o'clock in the UK until they change their clocks on the end of March. So hopefully everyone who wanted to be here is here at the beginning of the show. If not, you can always catch this on archives. And those who are listening will know that by that time. The purpose of Purpose Talk Radio is to have those who are living their purpose, their mission, what they believe they are to be doing in life with you, and how they got there, how they got to know what it is, and some suggestions that will bring you to your purpose. And usually we have them talking about some other topics as well. So that is, there's several options also for you to participate in this show. One would be in the chat room on Blog Talk Radio. And that would be at blogtalkradio.com/purposetalkradio, catching this on a phone or something else. And you can get into that chat room that is open for you. The other is we have a Facebook page called, a group rather, excuse me, called Purpose Talk Radio Conversations. There will be shortly a link or a post pinned to the top of the page where you can comment on anything that might resonate with you. Or any questions that you might have for our guest, Lori Zeigler, when she gets on. However, we would prefer that you call in to talk to us because then, you know, it can be shared with the rest of the audience and those who might be listening. It also allows for some interaction rather than just asking questions and commenting back. So hopefully you will do that. And that number would be 347-205-9074. Again, 347-205-9074. And that line will be open as long as we are on the air. Oh, and by the way, the Purpose Talk Radio Conversations group is available to you whether you listen live or in or on the archived shows, because it gives you the chance to have that pinned up there all week. Let me see what else we might have here for you. Our show this week is being brought to you and sponsored by SAS Accounting, which actually is Lori's firm, and we will talk to you a little bit more about that throughout the show today. Also, if you have something you suggest or if you'd like to be on the show or sponsor a show, you can do so by going to PurposeTalkRadio.com. And that is PurposeTalkRadio.com. And or you can get directly to me if you'd like as well. And that would be, as I said, Cindy at PurposeTalkRadio.com. Also on our website, we have information about our past and upcoming guests, as well as the information about our past shows and the links to those. So you can reach us several ways. And I guess I am stalling just a tad bit because my screen is being slow and stubborn today. And I need to get to one that is not wanting to open to introduce to you. But I'm sure that will happen just fine. And in the meantime, yes, I will just bring her on and then I'll introduce her there. Hello, Lori. Get you in. There we go. Boy, I don't know about this board today. It's being slow. Welcome to Purpose Talk Radio.
Thank you.
Are you there? Okay. Well, let me see what I want to do. I'm sorry, this is being very slow today and obnoxious and all of that. I had all these files nicely opened to talk about who you are and what you are, but it just didn't want to do that. So here we go. Lori Ziegler has two associate degrees from the Milwaukee Area Technical College, one in business data processing and one in coding. She also has a bachelor's degree from Lakeland College with a double major in accounting and business administration and a minor in economics. A whole lot of numbers. And as of March 2004, she added becoming an enrolled agent to her list of accomplishments. And this enables her to practice before the IRS, which I know a lot of people always get worried about, even on their personal stuff. Oh, what's going to happen with me if I got to go to the IRS? So I'm sure and hopefully we have some people questioning and asking what that means for them. She also is a graduate fellow of the National Tax Practice Institute. In addition, Lori is a certified pro advisor for QuickBooks and as such works with nearly 100 small business clients on a regular basis. Six Accounting LLC has been in business or has been a business since 1993, and that was started by herself as well. They have over 700 clients, including more than 200 business clients. During tax season, they prepare more than 600 returns, and we are lucky to have her on here, especially since it is so close to tax season, but there was also a request that, you know, if you have some tax questions, that they can answer briefly for you. You know, or schedule an appointment later, that you still would have time to be able to do that. So that's why I wanted to bring Lori on here. But in addition, she is very involved in her community, including Big Brothers Big Sisters, of which she is a past president, as well as several chambers of commerce and other nonprofit groups. I also want to tell you specifically a little bit about SAS Accounting, which I said is sponsoring this show. As we also mentioned, it was started in January of 1993. They're located about 24 miles north of Milwaukee, Wisconsin, in downtown Saukville, just west of I-43 for those who might be listening from this area. They offer professional services such as payroll, full-cycle accounting, bank account reconciliations. But unlike other accounting firms, they can come to your place of business and work on your system. Now, I'm sure if they go down in Hawaii, Lori, I bet maybe that might be a special arrangement you'd have to make, right?
Oh, I wouldn't mind that one at all. I did at one point have a client in Hawaii. So, yeah, that's a nice benefit.
There you go. That works well. As it said, they are registered advisors for QuickBooks, can support various releases of that software, as well as help set you up, train you, and also do routine maintenance. Income tax preparation, of course, is a large part of the business, especially at this time of year. The managing member, which is Lori herself, passed a special entrance examination, or C, and is now an enrolled agent, and as such can practice through the IRS, as we'd mentioned. They also can do multi-state and non-resident returns, as well as business returns, and the prices include a copy copy for your records. You know, so as you look at your taxes, folks, you might want to consider SAS Accounting to do your CPR for your taxes. And they look at that as consultation for preparation and presentation, which is the full gamut, so you don't have to get all bent out of shape. And I presume that's personal as well as business, right, Lori?
Absolutely.
So, you know, just because they're from what a lot of people consider a smaller community of Milwaukee does not mean that they are a small business at all. And the other piece that I know Lori will be talking about is how the business has grown over the years into new facilities, new locations, things like that. So, once again, officially, welcome to Purpose Talk Radio, Lori.
Thank you very much, and thank you for having me and allowing me to sponsor today's show.
Thank you for being a part. So the thing I ask people first, before I get into the nitty-gritty and a little bit more about what you actually do, is how did you find or determine what your purpose was going to be in life? Was there a awakening or a specific time-altering event, or was it as you grew up, or how did that happen for you?
Well, as far as accounting itself, that I knew I wanted to be in since I was in middle school. I always had a love of numbers, and as I later found out that different genres such as science, accounting, all have used a lot of math, but they use it in a different way, and I really liked the working with numbers as applied to businesses. So I knew fairly young that I wanted to get into accounting and be an accountant. You mentioned my two associate degrees and then my bachelor's degree. I knew that college was going to be expensive, and I wanted to start out with something that I felt I could afford, and so that's why I went to MATC and earned my two associate degrees first. And when I was a senior in high school was when our high school first had computers in the school. Of course, I'm dating myself there. And because now, obviously, it starts at the very young, but at that time, I knew that computers was the future of accounting, so that's why I decided to get the data processing degree as well as the accounting degree.
So, I mean, over the long run, it's like, wow, with two associate degrees and two bachelor degrees, or two majors, essentially, you know, what you thought might have been kind of saving some money sounds like it actually in the end ended up a whole lot, because you end up with a whole lot better credentials. Is that correct?
Well, that's true. Although I was very fortunate, I went through Lakeland College for what they call their lifelong learning program, which again over time has evolved, and now I understand you can do a lot of it online. But because I could transfer one whole degree or 64 credits, but I already had over 100 credits, so I had some room to play with the classes that I chose. So I was very fortunate to have a good advisor, and we worked those credits to my advantage, which is why I ended up with a bachelor's degree with two majors and a minor. But one of my purposes, Cindy, to use that word, was to not only have a degree that would serve me, but something to fall back on in case I didn't like accounting or it didn't go the way that I thought it would. By having more education, I had a better background to move forward with. And obviously now that I've run my own business for over 20 years, it's really served me well to have the background with the business administration. And with the way computers are nowadays, I rely on IT professionals, computer geeks, if you will, because my time and money is better spent doing the accounting part of the business, but I can help my clients out from that standpoint. I know enough to be able to assist them in a small scale, and then I also know when to refer them to somebody else and who to refer them to and what direction to point them at. So I'm very glad that I have the broad background that I do.
Well, yeah, it does sound like a big, very, very helpful. And the other thing is, too, what I see of that is, as your education, you know, you were fiscally responsible for your own well-being and your own education, which, of course, shows some initiative of what you can show for your clients as well. So
absolutely,
nice.
And it's also helped me as being a parent, because I came out of college with no debt, and so I had that goal for my daughter as well.
Now, that's unusual.
Yes, it is.
No matter who or what age you are. Yeah, I'm still looking at, unfortunately, debt from my first degree 30 years ago as well. So I'm also dating myself. And I'm, you know, trying to go back now. I'm just adding debt to it, which is really unfortunate stuff. I mean, I guess I don't really have any from there. But it took a long time from that first degree to pay it off. And it wasn't that much either. For me, I didn't have anything near what you had for the thing, because it was just 4-year college. So.
Right. Well, and I'm not a certified financial planner, but that's one of the things I try to help my clients with is what makes sense not only from a tax perspective, but from a life perspective. You know, it makes sense to plan for such things as college and retirement and those things. And if you can do them in a way that's beneficial to your taxes, that's just an added bonus.
Right, and I understand now there are some tax advantages and things that we didn't have back then, you know, savings plans and things that if parents want to help or help set some things up, you know, that's there, and or the kids can start putting aside their own funds and get some benefits from that as well, right?
Absolutely. What I did with my daughter is she had a job, so we started a Roth IRA for her. That helped her save for the future long term, because it is an IRA, and the goal there is to have it there for your retirement. But it also helped her save for the short term, because if an IRA has been open for 5 years, they are able to use that for their higher education, and there is no tax on the money that is withdrawn. And because it is after-tax funds, those funds can also be used for the education credits. If they don't use all the money that's in the Roth IRA for their higher education, they can use $10,000 out of that money down the road for a down payment on their first home. And then, like I said, after age 59 and a half, it would be available for retirement funds. So that's opportunity that I like to present to my clients that is available for them and can serve many purposes.
Nice. So you talked about knowing at a young age that you wanted to get in accounting. Was there, you know, obviously the numbers and that kind of thing, you know, as opposed to economics, or you had also mentioned science. Was there a specific draw to the accounting more? Was it, I don't know, people or spiritual or anything that guided you that direction?
I'm not really sure what guided me that direction. Like I said, I knew that I liked numbers and didn't realize that there was different applications for numbers. And I wasn't very strong in the sciences. Still I'm not, and my daughter is, so I'm not sure where she got that from. But I really excelled in the business courses in high school and really enjoyed accounting. Once I got into it as a profession, I liked it, but I seemed to keep getting dead-ended in jobs. And if I can talk a little bit about when SAS Accounting started, I was working for a full-time job. I had left a job for a new job. And I kind of had a hesitation. It was one of those that I had a second interview and my mind said beware, and I didn't listen to that, and I accepted the job. And within about 6 months of accepting the job, I was married, and I was pregnant and having problems with my pregnancy, and I ended up losing my job. And my husband at the time, who is now my ex-husband, said, well, you know, you always wanted to start a business, or talked about starting your own business, but why don't you do that now? And so I worked part-time jobs until I could get my business started, and that took about 2 years. And once I really got my business off the ground, that was when I really found that I found my purpose and being able to help people figure out what was best for them, do what was right. I just had a client in here this morning that had a problem with an older lady that had a problem with documents for her tax return, and we got it all resolved within an hour. And when I was on the phone with her, she said, I love you. And I said, you know, that's why I do what I do. I love helping people. I think that's why you mentioned some of my civic involvements. That's why I do that. You know, I was raised that you get back what you give. And I love giving to the community. I love helping my clients out. And I've certainly gotten a lot more back than what I've put into it, I feel.
Nice. You know, and one of the things that I heard you say was that, you know, trusting your gut. And, you know, I'm sure that comes into play even now with some of your clients. you know, because you did learn from that experience, and now you can get the opportunity to, you know, granted, accounting numbers isn't a trust your gut thing per se, but, you know, if somebody comes in and says, I don't get this, I'm sure some intuition, guidance, whatever you want to call it, voice within, you know, helps give you some direction as to what you can do to help them. Would that be
absolutely fair? And it's also that feeling, Cindy, of doing what's right. I, as an enrolled agent, I have guidelines that I have to follow. I have to do what's legally right, but I also like doing things because they're right, not just because they're lawful. And it really, it helps me sleep at night, and it helps me be able to look people in the eye and like what I see when I look in the mirror.
Okay. So what have you done with the business? You said you started that in 93 when you were essentially not satisfied with what was going on in the rest of the world or couldn't find a job.
Breaking up a little bit, but from what I heard you ask, I started my business in my home, and I literally started with $100 in the bank and posted business cards at restaurants, laundromats, grocery stores, anywhere that I could. Over the years, I've made several moves, and I purchased a building in Grafton, and I was a landlord there and learned from that experience. And then recently, about 2 years ago, we purchased the building that we're now located in Saukville, and every move has allowed me to expand the business and to help more people out. I also currently have 5 people on the payroll, so I feel that I've made an investment and been able to help people out that way. The gal that's been here the longest now is with me almost 10 years. When she started, she had a young son that was 6 months, and he's now 10, and she's the mother of 3 children. My mom worked with me for 18 and a half years, and now my husband joined the business 4 years ago. So while it really wasn't started as a family business, that's what it's become, and it's been really enjoyable for me to be able to work with the different members of my family and to have them be a part of the success of this business.
Okay. And you had mentioned your daughter. Is she part of the business at this point, or is she doing something else?
Well, she's a junior up at UW Eau Claire, and she's going into science. She's a chemistry major and plans on going for her master's degree in forensic science, but she is part of the business. She's worked for me since about 8th grade, and she still works when she comes home over the summer or over the holidays. She still works here. It's not something she wants to go into, which I never felt, I didn't force her into it. I wanted her to do her own thing just as I had done mine. But I wish I could give this to her or let her be a part of this legacy. So, but it's fun having her here when she is home and is able to come in and contribute.
Nice. Well, let's hope the forensics part of her career never have to come into your business.
Absolutely.
Although maybe things like environmental controls or something like that might come into it at some point.
Well, there is forensic accounting, but it has nothing to do with dead bodies. So.
Yeah. So, but that's cool. That's cool. It's been able to become a family business and a family understanding, at least, even if, you know, she's not going in there. You said, I like what you said about having her hopefully come out of college debt-free as well, because it's even harder now than it was when we were doing it to be able to do that.
Absolutely. Well, it's a lot more expensive than it was when we were doing it. And when I did it, you know, I lived at home, so that, of course, minimized the debt. And with her over at Eau Claire, that's a long drive from home. So she lives on campus, which makes it more expensive as well.
Right. Okay. So you yourself have added some credentials of what I was
I have.
Reading. And what has that meant for you, for your business and personally?
Well, the first credential I added was becoming a certified pro advisor for QuickBooks. I started working with QuickBooks in 1996, 1997, and I was doing more and more work with it. So becoming a certified pro advisor allowed me to do some advertising of that credential and allowed me to pick up more business. And truth be told, the taxes is the necessary evil of my business and of the accounting world from my perspective. I really enjoy the bookkeeping. We process about 60 payrolls here. About 30 of them we do in-house, and another 30 we have clients that are on QuickBooks that do their own payrolls, and I go out to them once a quarter and do their quarterly reports and help them at the year end with their W-2s and such things. So I've been able to do some teaching. I've been able to do some traveling to do some teaching for QuickBooks and consulting and helping businesses. Then in early 2000, it was getting more and more difficult to pull powers of attorney with the IRS if you were not a Circular 230 professional. And those are attorneys, CPAs, and enrolled agents. And I had sat for my CPA exam when I was pregnant with my daughter, and I didn't pass it. And I knew then that if I was going to pass it, I would need to do a lot of training and education in order to get ready and prepare for the test. And at the time, that really wasn't the direction my business was going in. It was much more bookkeeping and accounting for small businesses and personal and small business income tax preparation, and I really liked that. I had the only thing that being a CPA would allow me to do that I couldn't currently do with my bachelor's degree was auditing, and that was not one of my favorite parts of accounting. So that's when I decided to pursue the EA credential, enrolled agent, and I did, and I passed the test on my first try, which about only 30% of people do, and was credentialed by the IRS. And again, that took my business another big step forward, because now, even though I wasn't a CPA, I did have a credential that we're really doing some grassroots efforts to get people to realize what an EA is. CPAs and attorneys are state licensed. Enrolled agents are the only federally authorized tax practitioners, and we're under the auspices of the United States Treasury. And so we can represent taxpayers before the IRS, and we are not subject to state laws. So that's really been another big step in growing my business. And as you mentioned in the intro, I like to say that I can do CPR for your taxes, consultation, preparation, and representation. And so we do a lot of that, although it's not a big area of our business. Representation in front of the IRS can be as simple as that you get a letter from the IRS that something on your, that they received a document that doesn't match what they see on your tax return, and they're questioning that. And we help clients get those questions answered and a lot of times resolve them with a lot less cost than what the IRS thinks it's going to be.
So when you say you're not subject to the state laws, what does that mean?
That means that I can work with taxpayers from any state. I currently, so far in this tax season, have prepared taxes for 20 different states for clients. And if I was a CPA or an attorney, I could only do taxes for the states for which I am registered. And being federally authorized gives me a lot more freedom to help taxpayers.
Wow. Yeah, and my understanding, and maybe it's that of the audience, I don't know, is that a CPA, you know, gets to do anything, or, you know, as far as the accounting is concerned. But it sounds like you said, you almost have higher credentials or higher pull in what you're able to do. So
for
I had
the
never
taxes,
heard of.
Yes.
Right. I had never heard of an enrolled agent, even as I was preparing the information. I'm like, well, is that an account? Is that CPA? I don't know. So I was curious to find out what that actually meant when I got you on the air.
Well, and that's, like I said, that's why we're working. You know, I'm very involved in my national professional society, the National Association of Enrolled Agents. And our number one strategic goal is to make the enrolled agent name better known.
So how long has something like that been out there that we have not heard of it very much? Is that a fairly new arm of the profession?
No, not at all. It dates back actually to the Civil War. So enrolled agents have been around for many, many, many years, but again, it's not as well known or is not as recognized as, say, a CPA, because we don't have the numbers that CPAs have. So I believe there's like 4 to 5 times as many CPAs as there are enrolled agents. There's about 46,000 enrolled agents nationally.
Hmm. Yeah, and I do find that I took accounting classes in high school and college, and it was not my interest. In fact, it was in economics, and they were probably the least part of interest to my business administration minor. But, when I did them, it was like, okay. And everybody was aspiring to either do something, in business, like I said, business administration or something, or if they were going to follow through and do more accounting work, it was going to be as a CPA. So, I wish you luck with being able to get some of that out there as more publicity and things are concerned for your aspect, because it sounds like it's a lot more helpful as more and more businesses are expanding and having offices in different states and different locations and all that. It's like it's more important to you.
Absolutely.
So do you do anything internationally at this
no.
point?
No. I did in the past. I actually had a client that for work was living in China for a few years, and so we were taking care of all of their paying all of their bills, and they rented out their home, and we kind of oversaw that. But I don't do anything in terms of international tax returns. Taxes is the same as being a doctor. There are so many areas that you can specialize in, and you end up in some cases being a jack of all trades and master of none. So I have narrowed to some extent some of the areas that I do practice in just because I want to be good at what I do. One of those areas that I don't do, or another area that I don't do, is estates. But with my involvement in all my societies, I have colleagues that I can refer estates to so that I can not just leave people out in the cold or make them go find somebody that can help them out. I have a great referral network in the tax profession as well as other professions that I can be a resource for my clients as well.
Well, that's cool. And again, I'm sure that has taken some discernment and some decision-making on yourself too. Like you said, which of those paths are important to what you ultimately see yourself doing? What purpose is that supposed to be outlined? So when you do taxes here in the States, we had talked about kind of joking about going to somebody else's office that might be, in some place nice and warm now in April, March and April, when, it is actually your busy time. But seriously, can you do taxes cyberly and, work with people that aren't right in the vicinity here?
Oh, absolutely. Like I said, I've already in this tax season worked with clients in 20 different states. Obviously, one of those states is Wisconsin. But I do utilize both the internet and the mail as means of working with clients who are not present in the general area. Sometimes it might be you know, the child of a client that I used to have that has now moved away, those types of things. But people hear from about me from their friends, from their relatives, and certainly we can work with that. You don't need to be in my office in order for me to do your taxes.
Nice. So, okay, I want to just break for a second here and remind people that if they would like to talk to Lori on anything, have any questions for her regarding purpose or what she is doing with her career with the accounting, bookkeeping aspect of it, please do give us a call at 347-205-9074. Again, 347-205-9074. You can also connect on Skype through the Blog Talk Radio site. In either case, to talk to us, please press 1 or I'll think you're just listening. The other thing you can do is connect with us in the Blog Talk Radio chat room at the very bottom of the screen for this show or over on the Purpose Talk Radio Conversations group in Facebook. So please join us there if you have any questions or comments that you'd like to share. Okay. I know, was there anything else on that aspect that you'd like to share with us to try and clarify for any of the audience? Otherwise, we can move to some of the tips and things that you wanted to share with them.
No, I think we can go ahead. I can't think of anything that I'm missing.
Okay, that's fine, and we can always come back to it, but I didn't want to, you know, leave you in the middle of something either. So, okay, I know, you know, what we do with the show, too, is share things that, you know, general folks can do, and I know you've got some suggestions. I don't know if it's a top 5 list or a list of 5 things that you'd like to share. Maybe there's more that have come up since then that you'd like to share with the general public regarding their financial records.
One of the big ones is to keep good records, and well, the top 2 for me is keep good records and be organized. And in that, if you go to our website, which is www.sasaccounting.com, we have a lot of information there for you. Poke around under the resources. There are things there that you can do to get ready for your tax appointment, whether I'm doing them or somebody else. The information is all basically the same of what you would need. And there's documents out there that say how long to keep your records. That's a very common question that I get. The short answer is you must keep anything that's tax-related for 7 years. The IRS can go back 3 years, and then if they find anything in that 3 years, anything substantial, then they can go back another 3 years. And one of the big myths out there, I think, is that people think, oh, well, the IRS is reviewing my 2013 returns as they come in, and that's just not so. They're actually right now working on reviewing the 2011 returns. So that's why we always say 7 years, because they're not processing the current year. They're at least 1 year behind, so that's 1 year plus the 3 years plus the additional 3 years. So that's why we say you want to keep those things for 7 years. Then another thing
personal.
Is...
That's personal and professional, correct?
Personal and professional. If you're purchasing assets, whether it be for a business or personal use, especially for your home, you want to keep those records 7 years beyond selling the asset, because the sale of the asset may affect your tax return, so you need to keep that for the 7 years beyond when you actually sold it. Another thing that I really want people to consider, Cindy, is getting professional advice or thinking about how something is going to affect their tax returns before they do it. Unfortunately, so many times I get a call that says, I've done this, now what? I had a client in here last year, that an older client that has Social Security, that they decided to take money out of their retirement fund to pay for purchasing a car. You can do that. You don't have to pay any penalty because they were over 59 and a half, so they certainly had that option. But what happened was the money that they took out made more of their Social Security taxable, and they did it in November. So if they would have just taken a short-term loan for part of the amount and taken part out 1 year and part out the following year instead of taking it all out in 1 year, they would have saved themselves thousands of dollars in taxes. So it's stuff that you do that you might not be aware how it's going to affect your taxes that you need to check that out before you do it. Another thing is to document everything, and this is whether you have a business or not. If you're donating goods to Goodwill, it's really important to keep good records on that. Are we okay?
Yep, we're fine.
Okay, because all of a sudden I heard some music in there. It's really important.
I ended up logging, my computer froze, logged me out, and I came back in trying to call in on the phone if I had to. So sorry about that.
No, that's okay. But it's very important to keep good records on anything you donate. If you donate over $250 in a single transaction, your canceled check isn't good enough. You need the receipt from the organization saying that you donated this and that nothing was received, no goods or services were received in exchange. And it's really important that that letter is dated when the donation happened, not you get a letter from the IRS saying we want to audit or examine your receipts for your charitable donations and you call the church at that time to get a letter. A letter dated after the fact is not going to help you. For things donated to Goodwill, you need to document what you donated, who you donated it to, and what your value was on it and what you're basing that value on. And Goodwill has a very good tracker on their website for keeping track of your charitable donations, and we have a link to that from our website as well. And the last thing, of course, is to seek the help of a tax professional, whether it be an attorney, a CPA, an enrolled agent. People think that their taxes are simple and they do it over the internet or they do it on TurboTax, and they miss things. A little knowledge is dangerous, and I just think that paying for that professional, you know, it goes back to the old adage of you get what you pay for. So if you go to a professional, you may find out that you're not taking advantage of something that's there, and I just think it's important to get the help of a professional in an area that you're not a professional. And like I said earlier on in the show, I use an IT professional because that is their area of expertise. They go, you know, get continuing education for that. They keep up on the technology, and I don't have time to do that. I do that in my profession. I'm required to get 30 hours of education every year. I usually average over 100 hours. So I would prefer to use a professional that knows what they're doing and is on top of things, and that's what I recommend for my clients as well.
And that does make a lot of sense. It really does. You know, I worked for a church several years ago when that law kind of changed about the $250.
Yep.
And, you know, and I wasn't even in accounting, really. I was their bookkeeper, but I got it, and we actually had the minister kind of going, why do we have to do this? I said, because, you know, see this little piece of paper? It says it's the law. We have to do this now. You know, and even the people that didn't do the $250 that they gave, you know, $100 over the year, that we had to give them a letter that said this is what they did. It was no longer enough that, well, they've been throwing $5 and $10 in every week, and they said that, and that was good enough. You know, so it was interesting when that came through, and the churches kind of had to start, you know, recording all of this stuff to give to people, even if they did normally pay by check. So.
Yep, absolutely. And, you know, gone are the days, like you said, that you can just say, well, I threw $5 or $10 in the collection plate. If you do that, at least keep a log that says what church you went to and that you did put cash in. But it's records, 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 and it's so critical.
All right. So do you find, I mean, are you able to do, or do you find that people miss things or don't, Sorry, let me try the question again, because there were like three different questions that were coming all together. When it
okay.
comes to people filing their easy forms, you know, do you find that something that really isn't easy step by step, all they have is their general income, they really don't own anything, they haven't been to school, things like that, is that a reasonable expectation that they can just file that easy form?
It is, unless.
Mm-hmm.
There
and that's
are
what I
things
thought.
That, right, if they qualify for earned income credit, I don't know, I don't use TurboTax, so I don't know how helpful it is or it isn't, but if they qualify for earned income credit, I'd like to think that, like, TurboTax or a program like that, something online would catch that for them, but not necessarily so, especially in Wisconsin here. We have the homestead credit, which is based on either your real estate taxes or your rent paid if you are have a lower income, and I believe the upper limit on that is $24,000 or around that area. But if you don't know that that exists, you might be missing out on that credit.
And for me, that's the only reason I can't do an easy form. Well, I have tuition credit too at this point. But exactly, I've got the homestead because, and most people know, I've said this on the air, I'm on disability, so my income isn't that high. But even when I wasn't working, I wasn't making that much money. So it really is helpful. And I admit I do use an online system in part because the time and my disorganization. And it's like all I've got is these three pieces of paper. I don't keep track of my donations and things like that, which is my fault. Whether I give $250 over the year, I doubt it. So it really doesn't make any difference whether it's in one. I know it's not one lump sum, but whether it's even total probably isn't going to happen. I like the idea of at least starting to document some of that, and I have over the last couple of years, just to see where does my money actually go, when it comes to the end of the year, and I go, wait, that number on my tax form, sure, it doesn't seem to match what I thought I had in my bank account. You know?
Absolutely.
You know, and it kind of goes back to what you're saying. I mean, I know you're not into budgeting. You're not doing that. But, part of, like you said at the beginning, you know, going to school tax-free and debt-free. Tax-free if you put the money aside early enough. But, you know, debt-free, going to school debt-free, or wanting to put that money down and having it down payment for a home later, because you are watching where that money goes, and kind of comparing what your budget and what your income is to that bottom line of the taxes.
Right, absolutely. Well, and budgeting does come into play, certainly with the nonprofits I work with and some of the businesses, and I help individuals as well. If they need a budget set up, that is something that I can do for them or help them with.
Nice. Okay. And see, I wasn't even aware of that, so I guess I was supposed to be leading it to that direction.
There you go.
Okay. Well, cool. We've got those 5 points out of there. I am not getting anybody on the line, which I really thought once we mentioned that IRS stuff, I thought we'd get a couple people calling in, but they're not, so that's fine. I don't know. Where is your business going now? I mean, what are your plans for your future?
Well, my husband and I are on the 15-year plan. We'd like to retire and move down south where we can ride our Harleys more of the year. So I even came home in January and said, you know, I'm getting tired. Maybe I should think about selling the business and working for somebody else. But there's so many perks that I get out of having my own business. I don't need somebody's permission to give a discount to a client that I think needs the help or to work long hours during tax season, but then to be able to take off early on a Friday afternoon in the summer and go and ride the Harley or something. So I the move we made now to the building that we're in Saukville was intentional. We will not be moving again. We wanted to make sure that we had a big enough building this time that can accommodate any growth we would have in the future until we're ready to retire. And I really, the focus of my business now is like I said, I really enjoy the QuickBooks, the teaching, the working with the people. And that's the area of my business that I would like to continue to grow is the year-round part. I mentioned my National Professional Society. I was recently elected Secretary Treasurer and will be installed out in Washington, D.C. in May. So I would like to spend more time working with that group and serving because I enjoy what I get out of it.
And I suppose, I mean, at some point, if you can be out of the cold part of the year even, you know, because you've, again, got that yay enrolled agent credential, you know, you really can do things from anywhere.
Right, I can go anywhere and hang out a shingle, and actually John and I have talked about it, and I would probably do less taxes and more QuickBooks because I can, but just kind of limit my taxes because I don't want to be tied down for 4 months of the year like I am now.
Okay. Is that pretty much, I mean, pretty much are busy, I would think, January, well, by the time people get their stuff, the end of January through the 15th of April.
Well, we actually start more around Christmas time, Cindy, and go through the end of April because we support so many people in payroll. We start with W-2s and 1099s at the end of the year and then do personal property taxes for businesses and roll right into tax season. And then before tax season is even over, we're working on quarterly reports for the first quarter payroll, which is actually we're in the throes of that right now. And so it makes April very busy.
I appreciate you taking the time to join us today at the, you know, with that busy season that's right at your heels there.
Yes, well, we're in it. We're in the thick of it, that's for sure.
Okay. I know one of the things that you had shared with me, and I guess just because it does come in so often into our shows, if you'd like to talk about it, I'd like to give you the opportunity, was some of how spirituality has played a role in your life as well and into working with your purpose. Is that something you wanted to share at this point?
Well, like I said before, it's certainly, you know, I was asked by my church the other day to speak on this, and I said, you know, I kind of look at it from a, you know, WWJD, what would Jesus do perspective, truly when I think about how I bring my faith into my work. And I hold myself to higher standards because it's what's right. When I was growing up, I thought everybody could do mental math, I guess is what they call it, or do numbers in their head like I could. And everybody got math like I did. And I quickly found out that really wasn't the case and that this really was a gift and I wanted to use it, you know, to the best of my ability. I mentioned, you know, being able to decide to do discounts or not charge people. And when I come across a group or an individual that can't afford to pay the going rate for my services, I do what I can to accommodate them. It's just another way that I feel that I'm serving God by serving others, and I don't only practice these in my work, but I also do it in the community as well. That's why I spend so much of my time volunteering for and helping out nonprofit organizations. And obviously, it probably isn't surprising that a lot of my service to those organizations involves being treasurer for some of those groups. And I've been recognized for it in the past, but that's not why I do it. I do it because it makes me feel good to be able to help out other people.
Cool. And again, that's a lot of what we talk about. You know, it's you might have something that you are passionate about, and sometimes it becomes part of your career. Sometimes it becomes part of your hobbies or your extracurriculars. If you're lucky enough, you get to combine them, and they all kind of fold into one. And so that's nice to have that opportunity to be able to do that.
Absolutely.
And to give back to the community as well. So, Okay. You know what? I am pretty much out of questions for you. If there's anything else that you were wanting to share with us, I'd like to give you that opportunity.
I think we did a pretty good job covering everything. Again, I'd like to encourage people, if they have any questions, to feel free to contact me via email. You can easily get there through my website, www.sass, that's S-A-S-S, accounting.com.
Okay. And an email link there as well?
Yes, ma'am.
That people can reach you? Okay. All right. And I'm sure you are looking forward to some spring out here in Wisconsin so you can get out on those Harleys.
You betcha.
I still want to ride at some point in time.
Sounds good.
Connect in live person and do that. Again, I won't tell the whole behind the scenes piece of this, but again, Facebook has been a way that I've been able to connect with Lori, and it's been really, really cool over the last probably a couple years again. So it's been nice seeing the pictures of the expansion of the business and the home and the things that you're planning to do, and seeing that. So I do encourage people to reach out to someone that resonates, or friends of friends, in this case, that allow you to connect with people as time goes on. So thank you, Lori.
Thank you. I appreciate the opportunity.
Appreciate your time. Thank you. I'll put you back on hold if you want to just listen and sit back. Otherwise, I'm sure you have lots of work you can get back to.
I do. Thank you so much.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay, folks, that was Lori Ziegler from SAS Accounting, and I appreciate her time. If you have any questions, if you need some taxes prepared yet this year, I do encourage you to get a hold of her. Again, her website is SAS Accounting, SASSACCOUNTING.com, and you can go to the email link for her business and connect with her with whatever else you need. If you have some questions for me, I will be on just a moment or two here, and you can press 1 if you're on the lines or on Skype. Otherwise, let me see who we have coming up on the schedule. I am so blessed with people wanting to be on this show and wanting to share their purpose with you all, that I have got people booked through June at this point. And it is so great to be able to do that. And next week, I have Kathy Clegg, who will be on for you. After that, what do we have? We have Gina Thompson Ventinari. Some of these names have been flying all over Facebook from people that you might know. Next would be Charlotte Foley Phillip and her daughter, talking about some art and the journey. Let's see, Gina is a musician. Kathy is a possibilities coach. So we have lots of wonderful people coming on. And we have Jillian Clark, who is one of the co-writers of our theme song, I Am Who I Am. And Jillian has a cancer organization that helps people who are fighting with cancer. And as I said, the theme song that we had in our show, I Am Who I Am, is by True Trinity, being Jillian Clark, Rachel Martinez, and myself. And you can locate them at TRUETRINITY.com. And there's more music as well as purchase that song if you'd like to do it. So that's who we have coming for the next month or so. So if you'd like to be a part of the show or have a friend who you think would make a great guest, please do get a hold of me at Cindy@PurposeTalkRadio.com. If you'd like to find out more about our upcoming guests, that's where their information will be. It also is where you find links to our past and future shows as well. I would like to, every show, we like to end with an affirmation. And I think I'd like to do something more specific to the accounting and the numbers today. And in this case, it will. I'd like to put it out to you as I am living within my means and have finances to be able to share. So I am living within my means and having finances to share. And that will allow you to know that, you know, as you fill out those taxes at the end of the year, like I was saying, you know, you see that number and you don't wonder what happened to the money, that you're able to say, oh, yeah, wow, I thought I had more because I was able to do something more with it. It is a great way for us to learn, to process, and to be in this world, you know, if we can share. And Lori shared a couple times that, you know, she's able to do some things out in the community because of what she's doing now is fulfilling her purpose, because what she is doing is in line with all of her training as well, and what she has come to know is hers to do and is to be. So that's why she can reach out to Big Brother and Big Sisters, and she can reach out to her professional organization and can put time in as an officer, as a member, and all that. And, you know, it's one of the things I enjoy, too, and I encourage people to do is, you know, when you get the opportunity to help somebody else, it ends up somehow, for me anyway, making me feel better in the end. It makes me, you know, although they have that, you know, cliche, the warm fuzzies, as I get to do something for somebody else. And hear the thank you or not, and it doesn't matter. You know, for me, it's harder to receive than it is to do. So I like it doing things for other people as well. I think that pretty much does bring us to the near the end of the show here. I would like to, again, tell you that our sponsor for the show is SAS Accounting at SASSACCOUNTING.com. And that is also where you reach Lori and talk to her about anything else. We've mentioned that a couple of times. And with all of that, I invite you to go to True Trinity and check out their website or check out the PurposeTalkRadio.com website. And for now, I'm going to end this show and wish you all soul blessings with the song I Am Who I Am.
I am me, I am who I am, I am who I'm gonna be. Walking in the spirit moment by moment, fulfilling my own destiny. I am me, I am who I am, I am who I'm gonna be. Walking in the spirit moment by moment, fulfilling my own destiny. Walking in the spirit moment by moment, fulfilling my own destiny. Walking in the spirit moment by moment, fulfilling my own destiny.